All right, this last day of August. Got September coming up. Good thing about September is that means you just got two more months till we get to vote this bunch of crooks out of their offices, and I hope America does just that. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And it's been a long time since I've got to rejoice.
Yeah.
But it goes on to say, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we've been doing a lot of mourning. When I say a lot of mourning, let me say this real quick. It's just a few high notes. 13-year-olds are dying from fentanyl poisoning.
Yeah.
Young children are being molested and raped at our borders. And everybody knows about it. This is not no secret. They've got trees down there. They call them rape trees. And they hang these little girls' panties up on these trees. I'm sorry for being so bold, but I want you to know what I want voted out.
That's right.
FBI employee got caught molesting several kids. Probably promoted him, I don't know. But we'll get off of that sour note. We want to go to prayer real quick here. Beverly needs prayer. Levi Edge needs prayer. Jeff needs prayer. And our homecoming next month on the 18th.
Yeah.
We want to pray about that. And we got Brother Lee Watts coming on the 11th of next month. We want to pray about that. And we got others that are sick also. These are just some I wrote down real quick. But we want to go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to live in America. We thank you, Father, to be able to be in church tonight. Lord, we thank you for this little country church. Lord, what a blessing, Lord, it is. Feel the presence of God here. Sing the songs of God here. Lord, just lift you up. We just got a blessing. Lord, listen to that song that Sarah sent Brother Ed there where Jesus gets singing about when Jesus be lifted up, he draw people to him. Lord, it grieves me to hear you get put down, and I get a blessing every time I hear somebody lifting you up.
Yeah.
Bless the efforts of this little church, Father. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for Beverly. I think she's got a problem with her heart. Sister Bonnie called me. It was Christian prayer for Beverly. She's only like 40-some years old. Lord, we pray for little Levi. Lord, he needs prayer. He's got serious health issues. We pray for Brother Jeff, Lord, he'd be able to make it to the homecoming, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for others, Lord, be able to make it to the homecoming. And, Lord, we pray you bless that homecoming service. Bless Brother Mark, Lord, he's going to be doing the preaching, Lord, that morning. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, for the 11th service, Lord, September the 11th. Brother Lee Watts going to be here, Lord, bless that.
Yeah.
Bless this service tonight.
Yeah.
Help our country, Lord. Help it, Lord, I pray, to come to itself, Lord. Help it, Lord, I pray, to do a Nineveh repentance and return to God. I'd like to see America. Lord, I heard that missionaries were coming to America to try to appeal to the heart of America to return to God. That's sad. This country has sent so many missionaries,
yeah,
and now missionaries from the Philippines are coming to the cities in America to appeal to it, to turn to God. Help our country, Lord. Bless, Lord, this service tonight. We thank and praise you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to try to sing a song. I mentioned about that song, When I Be Lifted Up, I'll Draw People Unto Me. I want Sarah and Patrick to learn that song. Sing that, amen. That was really good.
Yeah.
We're going to try to sing this song here, Where the Roses Never Fade, for our song tonight. And we're not a singer. I never ever claimed to be a singer. My pastor said we sing by the letter, rear back and let her go, and that's about all I know to do. But we'll try our best. This short song, three verses. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. In this world we have our troubles, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all temptations where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Loved ones gone to be with Jesus in the robes of white arrayed. Now are waiting for my coming where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
Thank God.
Well, I sang that last line. I had to think about all the roses in my life and it faded.
Yeah.
Oh, said, boy, I loved dear and held close. Had to let go, but praise God, Jesus said there's a place called heaven.
Yeah.
And he said about that place, he said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you,
that's
amen.
Right.
Thank God for a place called heaven. Thank God, amen, I call it home, amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory, hallelujah. All right.
Good afternoon, Joanne.
We're going to be reading tonight from Job. We finished up Job chapter 10. We'll be starting in Job chapter number 11 tonight. And Job here, his circumstances, they don't make no sense. His friends, they're doing more grief than comfort. They're making his situation worse.
Yeah.
And as I thought about Job, I thought about Jesus here in Psalms chapter number 69. The Lord here in about the same position Job is, except he knew his circumstances. Job doesn't understand his. But it says in Psalm 69 verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And the reason I know this pertains to Jesus, you read the next verse, and they said, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink.
Yeah.
And they also parted his raiment for his vesture, cast lots. But it says, verse 26, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Jesus and Job have a lot in common, because Job's friends are everything but comforters, and Job's going what he's going through by the will of God.
Right.
The Lord's with him and brings him out of it at the end and gives him double what he had. But it says, then answered Zophar. Now Zophar is a religious dogmatic who assumes that he knows everything there is to know about God, and he kind of takes it to the limit here. But he's the Nehemite, and here's what he said. Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? He calls Job a liar in this next verse. He said, should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? You know, so far it didn't take him too long here to criticize poor Job. Called him a liar and called him full of himself about the multitude of his words. And he said, you know, kind of like, you just going to keep on talking, expect nobody to say nothing. Pretty much what he says there. Verse 4, he says, For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I'm clean in thine eyes. Now, that is a true statement. Job, he said his witness was in heaven, his record was on high, and he had a good clean record there. His doctrine was pure, and he was clean in his eyes. He said, but oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee. Zophar is wanting God to put Job in his place.
Yeah.
And Job is actually in the perfect will of God.
Right.
Even though he's suffering, even though his circumstances are unbearable, he's in the perfect will of God. Trying to think of a scripture just barely on the end of my tongue. I guess it is Job that said this. Thank you, Lord. Job said to his wife, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive also evil? In Job chapter number 2, verse number 10. You know, I want blessings, and I'm sure everybody else wants blessings.
Yes.
But I'll just tell you right now, God has His way above my way. I'm just a clay vessel. I'm not worth nothing. The only worth I've got is He put His treasure in this earthen vessel and gave it worth.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I've got any worth at all, because of Christ in me.
Yes,
but I want you to know He could have His way with all of us anytime He wants us. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price.
Amen.
But Zophar, he's way out of his bounds when he says, oh, that God would speak and open his lips against the... He wants God to put Job in his place. And verse 6, that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. He said, you know, you're just suffering because of your sin. That's what he's saying here. God is judging him. God is punishing him.
Yeah.
And God's exacting of him less than his sin, which iniquity means sin, deserveth. He said, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Now listen, that's a true statement. We can't find God out. We can find Him, but we can't find Him out. His ways are past finding out. But this statement here is true. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? God is out of our reach. Thank God He loves us. The psalmist said, I was poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I'm glad He thinks on me.
Yeah.
I'm glad He loves me. I'm glad He forgives me. I'm glad He delivers me. I'm glad He blesses and helps me. But Zophar did say something true right there in verse 7. Verse 8, it is as high as heaven. That's true. What canst thou do deeper than hell? What canst thou know? Both of those are true statements, verse 7 and 8. The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Again, another true statement about God. God is just, you know, one reason the world struggles so much with God is He's so different than us.
Yeah.
Okay. I would that we could love like God loves. He loves unconditionally.
Yes, He does.
His mercies are new every morning. If we could just learn how to forgive like God, that would help a bunch. We're all spite, grudge, and anger, and I'll show you. You know, we want to get that last word in, and God, He's just long-suffering, full of love.
Yeah.
But He said, if He cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder Him? That's true. Nobody can stop God from doing anything.
Right.
But thank God the goodness of God leads men to repentance. One day I realized God was a whole lot better than I'd ever gave Him credit for. My old hard heart melted, and I opened the door and let Jesus in.
Amen.
But He says, for He knoweth vain men, He seeth wickedness also. Will He not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. There's another good statement from Zophar. We are wild. I'm telling you, that's a wild man. But I'm glad I'm in my right mind now. Got the mind of Christ. Got my eyes open. Verse 13, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, and that is what you need to do. You do need to prepare your heart to seek the Lord and to seek him while he may be found. Verse 14, if iniquity be found in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shall not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. You know, so far has said a lot of good in these verses that I've read right here, but he got off on the wrong foot there in the beginning when he called Job a liar and called him full of himself. But he's doing a little better right here. He says, because thou shalt forget thy misery. Oh, I read that one. Verse 17, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. Thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. All that Zophar said is good advice, except in Job's case, he's in the will of God, and the will of God is for Job to suffer. And you know, I went to people's house and had prayer with them and wished to get better and wanted them to get better. But we got to always in our prayer. The Bible says, nevertheless, thy will be done. I'll show you why I say that.
Amen.
In 1 John, it says, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In 1 John chapter 3, let's see here. Well, I found what I was looking for, but I ain't found the verse I'm looking for. Hold on just a minute here. Okay, found it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Thank you, Brother Ed, for the prayer. It says, and this is the confidence, verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I wanted to get that in there. Over in 1 John chapter 3, it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, verse 22, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleased in his sight.
Yes.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Lot involved in prayer.
Yes, they are.
But like I said, I've had a lot of prayer with people. And you know, sometimes it don't go like I want it to. Sometimes they don't get better. Yeah. Sometimes my pastor said God heals them on the other side instead of this
side.
That's right. And we see through a glass so darkly, we don't see all of the thing.
No.
And when I say that, the best way I know how to explain that is Isaiah 57, verse 1. It says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth at the heart, and merciful men are taken away, and none considereth that the righteous is taken away from the evil that is to come, from the evil to come. And he shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. You see, sometimes God's will is to bring us home. And sometimes, one way to exit out of this world is by giving up this life and taking the next one that God has given us. Amen.
That's right.
I can't die, Jesus said in John chapter 11, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. I don't even think about dying no more.
No.
I'm just thinking about my transition, amen.
Be promoted.
Yeah. Hallelujah to that. But Zophar here, he says, I think I've been read this verse 17, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, and thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. Now he's talking about Job getting better. Job does get better after he gets through this sore trial.
Yeah.
Verse 18, Zophar says, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Part of what he said is true. There's a lot of truth, but there's also a lot of criticism, a lot of cut Job to the bone kind of conversation here he had with him. But Job fires right back. Job answers and says, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. In other words, he says, y'all know it all, you bunch of know-it-alls. He says, verse 3, but I have understanding as well as you. You know, sometimes people, they don't really want you to tell them what's wrong with them or what they need. They just want you to spend some time with them, have some conversation.
Yeah.
Don't criticize, just spend some time together. Job says this twice. He said, I am not inferior to you.
Mm-hmm.
He says that in this chapter 12, verse 3. And he says it again in chapter 13, verse 2. He's just saying, I'm just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him, the just upright man is laughed to scorn. You know, Job, he's got some pretty good things to say here to these, his friends, that are criticizing him, calling him a hypocrite, calling him a liar, mm-hmm. calling him full of himself. He says, he that's ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. In other words, I was getting dressed to come to church tonight, and I flipped the light on, and my wife looked like an owl in the tree there. I woke her up when I turned the light on, and she wasn't real happy about it, but I was kind of despised as someone with a lamp, and someone that's at ease. She was kind of resting there a little bit.
Yeah.
That bright light went on her eyes, and it wasn't a pleasant thing. I'm sure she despised the fact I turned that light on. But I had to get dressed. Verse 6, the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Now Job gets a little bit more worldly, but good here. He says, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. In other words, he's saying, y'all don't even know what the animals know.
Uh-huh.
He said, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, mm-hmm. and to the fishes of the sea, and they shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not all these things, that the hand of the Lord have wrought this? I tell you who don't know it, this bunch we've raised up today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, us. We've got people in our country, and I'm sure throughout the whole world, that I'll just put it this way, you got to go to school for years to be as dumb as they are.
Mm-hmm.
They was born with more sense than they've got. And they strain gnats and swallow camels. They think they got it all figured out. And to be honest with you, I forgot more than they'll ever know. But Job is talking about how creation, it knows about the Creator. And he says, verse 9, who knoweth not all these things that the hand of the Lord have wrought this?
Yeah.
In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. You know, when I was young, I did think I knew it all.
That's right.
But when I got a little older, I kind of wished that I'd paid more attention. When I say I wished I'd paid more attention, if there is any young people out there listening to me tonight, one regret that I have is that I didn't spend more time with my grandparents.
Yeah.
I did spend some time with them, and I did write down some of their wisdom. But you know, when that wisdom goes to the grave, it's gone. And the Amish are real good. They pass down their knowledge from generation to generation. They pass it down, but I don't think we've quite figured it out. Google's not the answer to everything. And, you know, you can do a Google search, and you can go to this one or go to that one. But our ancestors, my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandmother, great-grandfather, they knew more than I gave them credit for, and I've done well, really, to listen to them more instead of talk so much. And I say this to you young people out there, you'll do more listening. You'll listen to your mom and dad. You'll listen to your grandmother and grandfather to help you in life. I wish I'd listen more. And he says, verse 13, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. They've got massive flooding right now.
Yeah.
The waters are polluted right now. They've got a boil, I think it's in Colorado. They're having to boil the water. Yeah. Other places, it's drought. Rivers dried up. Lakes drying up. And you know what? They can say whatever they want. God's got to say about the rain. Mm-hmm. The Bible said He sendeth forth the rain in its season.
Yeah.
But He can also hold it back. And this verse says that He can hold it up and it'll dry up, or He can send it out and it can overturn the earth. Up in eastern Kentucky, I don't know if they've found everybody yet or not, but 38 people lost their life
right. Because
of flooding. And I remember someone mentioned about Texas got like something like 12 inches of rain in just less than an hour, just flooded everything.
Right.
That ought to cause people to think eternal thoughts.
Yes.
That ought to cause them to evaluate what they think about the Creator. These aren't accidents. This is like the writing on the wall. Someone is trying to get the attention of a bunch of people that need to have room for God. The Bible said in the book of Romans, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You'll get God in your knowledge when you stand before Him.
Right.
And all your excuses won't work. The Bible says that they'll be without excuse. Verse 16, with Him is strength and wisdom. Now, this is strange right here, but it's still true.
Mm-hmm.
The deceived and the deceiver are His. That's a strange statement, but it's still true. God made everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing that He didn't make. And one verse that's kind of obscure, but it's true, and that's in Isaiah. I think it's 44, 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness.
Right.
I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Why would God create evil? Well, I'll tell you why He did. Because He had to be betrayed into the hand of sinners.
Amen.
He said in John chapter 6, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He had to have a devil as one of His disciples, so He could be betrayed, so He could die for the sins of the world. In the plan of God, there had to be evil as well as good.
Right.
Man fell in the garden, and God's been trying to bail man out ever since. And man's the thick-headedest thing I ever seen in my life. I'm one of them. I know what I'm talking about. I'm glad I got saved, but it's still, I'm still amazed. I'll tell you, 34 years old, should have got saved at the age of 18. God knocking on my heart's door at the age of 18, I wouldn't answer it. But I'm glad he came back again and got me saved.
Yes, Lord.
Oh my, the deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of judges today that are fools.
Yeah, boy.
Oh my, I don't want to go too far in that one. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. I've seen that in my own lifetime, where a man was strong one day and in a wheelchair the next day.
Yes.
I'm telling you, buddy. And boy, God just, it's hard to understand God. Verse 22, he discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light. He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Like I said, this is Job's first answer to what Zophar has said. And verse 13, he's still saying, still answering. He says, lo, my eye has seen all of this. My ear hath heard and understood it. And Job again, like I said, he said, what ye know, the same do I know also. I'm not inferior unto you. He said, I'm just a man of like passion like you are. I think it's in the book of James talking about Elijah, and he was a great prophet. But the Bible said that he was just a man of like passion. It says in James 5 verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Mm-hmm. Just telling you. Job said, I'm just like you. I'm not in fear. I'm just a man of passion just like you are.
That's right.
Verse 3, he said, surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Now, God is a reasonable God, but in Job's case right here, God has withdrew himself. Job's up to this task. God knows he's up to this task, but where is that right now? He don't have access to God. God gave him over to Satan.
Yeah.
Satan said, let me touch his flesh. He said, flesh is flesh. All that a man has, will he give? He says in Job chapter number 2, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the crown of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I just want you to know, Job's in a pitiful condition right here.
Yes, he is.
Verse 4, he calls his so-called friends, but ye are all forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. They're not helping Job. They're making his situation worse. But that forger of lies, and I don't want to get political tonight, but do pay attention to what's being said. Mm. Not only are they contradicting themselves,
yes, they are.
But I've never seen so many lies being put together as what they're doing right now. You shouldn't watch the news like I do, but you need to watch it a little bit just so you won't be swallowed up by the lies that they're promoting right now. Verse 5, oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. And it should be your wisdom. Job said, won't you just shut up if you ain't got something good to say?
Yeah.
My mother used to tell me, if you ain't got something good to say about somebody, just keep your mouth shut. That's kind of what Job's saying right here. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 of Job 13. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleading of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for Him? Job's charging his friends.
Yeah.
As their counsel's not from the Lord, that it's from them. He says, verse 8, will you accept His person? Will you contend for God? It is good that He should search you out. Or as one man mocketh another, so ye do ye so mock him. He says, ye will surely, He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not His excellency make you afraid, and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone. Job's appealing to his friends to just sit there with him. And that's something that you can do. Me and Brother Ed, we went out there to Sister Brenda Goth, her son Gary, and you don't know what to say, but we went there and we sat down with her.
Yeah.
And just sitting there is a comfort.
That's right.
Just to have somebody there with you in your troubles, it is a good thing. It helps more than saying something you shouldn't have said. Job just says, hold your peace and let me alone that I may speak. He says, and let come on me what will. He said, I accept my situation. Let it come whatever the will of God is. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Verse 15, Job says, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And you know what? That kind of gave the devil a black eye right there. Job said, I'm still going with God. And every now and then, it's good to raise a little flag up and say, hey, I'm still loving the Lord. I'm still living for God. I'm still going with Jesus. Amen.
That's right.
Job here is about as low as you can go. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. He said, I will maintain mine own ways before Him. He also shall be my salvation. Job done gave the devil two black eyes, probably broke out two fangs of his teeth.
Yeah.
And you might get in a condition like Job. Hey, just praise the Lord. Just say, hey, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that He loves me. I know that He won't leave me. I know He won't forsake me. Just start praising God. That's what Job's doing here. He says, He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before Him. He said, hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. He said, behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Boy, it's good to know. When he said, I know I shall be justified. Now, Job's jumping way ahead right here. When I say he's jumping way ahead right here, he knows something most people don't know here today. I've read this many times, but in Romans chapter 3, it mentions about being justified freely by His grace. In Job chapter 3, verse 24, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and God is just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And I have been justified by the sacrifice of the Son of God. And Job here, he says, I know that I shall be justified. That's good to know.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Old account's been settled long ago.
Amen.
Verse 19, who is he that will plead with me? For now if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? He's asking them, name my sins since you say I've done so many. How many? How many sins am I guilty of? You know, he put them on the spot right there, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
They've been calling him everything but a saint of God.
Yeah, that's right.
And he called them out right here.
Yes, he did.
How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression, my sin. You know, they couldn't find no fault in Jesus. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And even though there were many that found fault in him, there wasn't none to find.
That's right.
They called him a wine bibber. They called him a friend of publicans and sinners. And thank God he was a friend of publicans and sinners.
Yes.
But the old here, he's putting his friends on the spot here. He said, make me to know my transgression and my sin. Mm-hmm. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Oh, he must have got the best of them right here. He said, look me in the eye. Don't say that. He's just saying that. He said, turn around here. He said, wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? And he appeals to him right here in verse 25. Will thou break a leaf driven to and fro? You know, he's just saying, I need mercy.
Yeah.
I need compassion. I don't need you to criticize me. I need you to have compassion on me. I'm just a leaf in the wind. And he says, and will thou pursue the dry stubble? You know, the Bible mentioned about Jesus, a bruised reed he won't break, and smoking flax he won't quench. Job said, I don't need you to be critical.
No.
I need you to have some compassion. He said, I'm in over my head here. And if you don't know what my sin is, just keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Verse 26, for thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to prosper. To possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. That is not doing Job much good, and he's not done. He's going to continue on in this next chapter. I think I can get through this next chapter. He said, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And that is a very true statement.
Yes.
If there wasn't a devil down here, that verse may not be true. But Jesus told Peter that Satan had desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. And that old devil, even though there's just one of him, I know he's got a lot of angels that fell with him. That devil covers a lot of ground. I'm telling you, he's a busy
Lord.
He's a busy devil, buddy. And he's been in my house more than once. But he wants us all to have trouble. He wants us all to have trials and tribulation. He says about verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You know, our days are few. And he's talking about you bloom like a flower. Next thing you know, you're fading. Your leaves, your petals are falling off. And he talks about that shadow. Have you ever watched a shadow? It moves pretty quick. And being the shadow, you know, it's gone. He says, doest thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Well, the Lord can.
Yes.
I was in my filth. I was in my sins. But He brought me out.
Amen.
Hey, He cleansed.
That's right.
He cleansed me of my sins and made me ever with clean. I'm all right, Brother Ed. I just got a hairball, I think.
Yeah.
But he said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God's already numbered our days. I don't know what my number is.
No.
I'll be honest with you. I never dreamed that I'd be 68. I thought 40 was it. When I hit 40, even though I saved, I have to admit, when I hit 40, I thought, what am I still here?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually thought, why am I still here? I never dreamed I'd even live to be 40. And here I am, and there's nothing I can do about it, but here I am, and rather be in heaven, but here I am, 68 years old. I'm saved and I'm serving, but the Lord's got to say on my days, and I have days that are appointed, and I can't pass whatever that appointed day is. I'm leaving out, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo! I looked at two airplanes today. I'm not leaving by airplane, but I looked at two today.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, praise God, one of these days I'm going to take my flight.
That's right.
And it won't have to worry about me polluting the air. It won't have no propeller. It won't have no jet engine. I'm just going to be gone, amen.
Yeah.
Turn from him, verse 6, that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a harlot his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. You can actually cut a tree down, and if it gets water, it'll start growing up out of the side. It'll grow little trees. I was trying to cut a tree this afternoon, about killed me. I think the Lord's trying to keep me from killing myself. Chainsaw quit on me three times. On that third time, I said, that's got to be the Lord trying to get this fool to live one day longer.
Yeah.
But I was trying to cut a tree down. I was up there about 30 feet. The chainsaw died and I couldn't start it up there. And I come back down, started, went back up, cut another limb, it died again. I said, all right, went down to come back up, and it died that time, wouldn't start back up. So I said I'd make it a tomorrow deal. But there is hope in a tree if it's cut down. It will sprout again.
Yes.
You can cut a tree all the way down the ground, the whole ground just starts growing trees.
That's right.
But, it says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. I've seen this with my own eyes.
Oh yeah.
He says, verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? I'm going to tell you where man is. If he's saved, he's in heaven.
Right.
If he's not saved, he's in hell.
Right.
You forget about that purgatory place.
Yeah.
That's only in certain Bibles, not in mine. But I'll just tell you this. Jesus made hell for the devil and his angels. You want to look it up. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. But he made a place called heaven. And he made it for you. He didn't make it for him. He made it for you.
That's right.
John 14, verse 2. He said, I go away, prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
That where I am, there he may be also. And I've got a place prepared for me. I call it my home. He calls it heaven. But if you're saved, you're in heaven.
Amen.
If you die, listen to me real good right here. If you die in your sins, your sins will send you to hell. It's not that you're that bad.
No.
It's not that I'm that good. It's just my sins are in the blood.
That's right.
And I can't die in my sins. They've been paid.
Yeah.
I've been pardoned.
Yeah.
I've been abundantly pardoned.
Thank you.
But if you die in your sins, I don't care how good a man or how good a woman you was. I don't care how many churches you joined, how many times you've been baptized, all the good money you gave, all the good works you did, sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, and I have it, is eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Romans 6:23, that's pretty clear. But sin, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over.
Amen.
But when God sees the sin, you'll give an account of it to God, and it won't be good.
No.
Man dieth, where is he? Depending on what he's done with this Jesus. There's not one that can forgive sin. There's not but one that can save you from sin.
Right.
And his name is Jesus. Acts 4:12.
Amen.
He said, as waters fall from the sea, and the flood decayeth, and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? Depends on if he's saved.
Mm-hmm.
If he's saved, he couldn't die if he wanted to.
No.
But even Job could die and live again. And I say that for this reason right here. Job ain't as dumb as y'all think he is. Now, it may take me a second to find this here. I'm going to have to quote it. Oh, Eddie can't find it like he thought he could. Here it is. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, here's Job.
Yeah.
And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now Job's got a different kind of resurrection.
Yeah.
He's the one that's going to hear the voice of God in the grave, and he's coming up. Hey, I done died. Eddie is done died to Eddie. I live to Jesus. Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got eternal life. That's the reason I'm not going to the grave. The old body is. I'm going to heaven. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Right.
And I can't wait to get present with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And Job here, in his case, he will live again. He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I done got my change.
Yeah.
My change is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a new creature.
Yes, Lord.
If any man be in Christ,
he's a new creature. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hold things fast.
Lord. Yeah.
Hold all things become.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, if any man be in Christ, and I am. He's a new creature, and I am. I don't look no better, but I'm new because of him.
That's right.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yeah.
I'm a new man in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I got a new walk. I got new thought. I got new talk. I got all new because of him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He said, if a man dies, shall he live again. I'll tell you right now, if you got Jesus, you don't have to even worry about ever dying. Ooh, that's wonderful. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And when you do get saved, there will be a change.
That's right.
There's Psalms chapter 55, I think, where this is at. I'm just my little pea brain spinning the wheels. But in Psalms chapter 55, verse 19, it says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. There will be a change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saul became Paul. Because he had more than a close encounter. He had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ.
Yes, he did.
And he could never no more be Saul. I mean, buddy, instead of tearing churches up, he went building them.
That's right.
Verse 15. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps, thou doest not watch. Doest thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag. Thou showest up mine iniquity. Surely the mountain fallen cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters were the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. Thou destroyest the hope of man. You know, my hope is not in Eddie. My hope's in the Lord.
That's right.
And one of the Psalms, I'm not going to turn to it, but it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. When you want hope, put it in something that you can put hope in.
That's right.
We've got an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast. Our hope is steadfast, unmovable in the Lord. We got something we can put hope in. You can put hope in your home and burn to the ground. You can put hope in your money and somebody can steal it. They've got now where they can steal your home, steal your money, and you won't even know it till you go get it.
That's right.
Verse 20, thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth, thou changeth his countenance, and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Now this is the last that Job has answered Zophar.
Yeah.
And when we come back, this will be the second statement, discourse of Eliphaz. He was the first one to speak to Job. But Job gave us here, I think, three chapters of answer to Zophar, and he'll have more to say. And you know, life don't make no sense without Jesus.
No.
And with Jesus, I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how bad they are. With Jesus, everything is better. Mm-hmm. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. You're so gracious. You're so kind.
Yeah.
Lord, you're so full of love. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, in your tender care. You're the good shepherd.
Yeah.
Lord, you love your sheep. You come to us, Lord. You comfort us. You carry us. You console us. Lord, we can put our confidence in you, for great is your faithfulness. Bless, I pray, dear Father. Lord, looking outside, the day is getting shorter. I can already see, Lord, the time is fleeing away. The night's drawing nigh. Bless, I pray, Lord, these efforts on Wednesday night. We thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
All right. There's still a little daylight out there.
Yeah.
But our days are getting shorter.
Yeah.
Amen.
We may have to come a little.